to the Life Beat Podcast. I am your host, Danny Earle, and with me today is our co-host, Tiffany. How are you, Tiffany?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Hope all of our listeners are doing good as well. Getting a little warmer out. Just walked by and it looks sunny outside, so we're getting there. Spring, I feel like we've said this in the last like three episodes, and then we get sorely disappointed, but spring should be coming around the corner. Today, we've got some stories for you guys. We're going to start off with two that actually center around Illinois, a state that is near and dear to my heart. That's where I was born and grew up. It's not that near and dear to my heart. I love Michigan. I'm happy to be here. But so we'll start off with some good news. We actually found a story about how a abortion law that was passed in Illinois had a judge look it over and deem a part of it unconstitutional. Tiffany, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yes, they said it violates the constitutional right to free speech, which is the First Amendment, because it is forcing medical professionals who don't believe in abortions to discuss the benefits of it with their patients who are considering an abortion.
Right. So this state abortion law, it's titled the Illinois Healthcare Right of Conscience Act. It was found to be partially unconstitutional by this federal judge because it required medical providers to discuss the benefits of abortion with their patients. A part of the act was deemed constitutional, and that is when a patient actually asks about abortion, then the medical professional has to either refer or transfer their patients or give written information about which other providers may offer these services that they can't provide because of a, quote, conscience-based objection. So that part was deemed constitutional, but the part that we are happy about, that we like to focus on here, is that medical providers are not required to bring up into a discussion the benefits of abortion, which is a huge win, especially in Illinois, which is a very abortion-heavy state. It's one of the top abortion-providing states in the country. So to have free speech like this protected is a really big win.
Ian D. Johnson, who is the U.S. District Court judge, found part of the Illinois Healthcare Right of Conscience Act unconstitutional. And this case was brought up by the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates. And there were also three pro-life pregnancy centers who brought it up as well.
Right, which is important to note because it centers so heavily on free speech. A lot of times, pro-life pregnancy centers, there are people who are on the pro-abortion side who are trying to limit the amount of information that PRCs can give out because they say that it's misinformation, but really it's just information that they don't agree with. So they try and limit it. So this is a big win for these PRCs in Illinois who can continue to provide life-affirming medical care to these women who come to them without having to refer them for abortion.
And the ADF, or the Alliance Defending Freedom, said that pregnancy centers must be free to continue their life-affirming work without the fear of government punishment.
And we agree. We absolutely agree. We love our PRCs here in Michigan and all across the country doing great work. So hoping that laws like this can continue to be found unconstitutional and PRCs can continue to advocate for women in ways that is life-affirming and is going to help present them with the choice to choose life for their child. Continuing an Illinois story. Unfortunately, this one is a pretty alarming story. It's got some graphic content, just a forewarning. There was an abortionist in Illinois who was recently sued because when performing an abortion, he left half of the aborted baby's remains inside the woman's uterus, and that actually caused the uterus to be punctured. So the late-term facility in Illinois, the facility itself is now being sued because of a woman who was 32 years old. She chose to remain anonymous. She traveled from Indianapolis to Illinois to receive this abortion because of the differing laws in the states. And she went to receive a dilation and curettage abortion because she was between 22 and 23 weeks gestation, and at different stages of gestation, a different abortion procedure is required. So as she went to receive this abortion, she was quoted for saying, "Pressure was applied. What are we going to do about this in my mental space and my environment?" So as the weeks were going by of her pregnancy, she had a lot of things to consider. And like she said, there was some pressure both in her mind and from her environment to abort. So that's why she chose to travel to Illinois to receive this abortion.
She eventually went through this abortion, and she said that the abortionist actually botched the procedure. And typically, this type of abortion is a multi-day procedure, and it was actually performed in a matter of one day.
Right. And I apologize. I think I misstated it earlier. It was a dilation and evacuation. I said dilation and curettage. It was a dilation and evacuation abortion. Just wanted to clarify that, in which the baby is dismembered and then it is taken out of the womb. And when that was done, the abortionist left, it was quoted as about half of the baby's body still inside of her. Again, we apologize for if this may be a graphic imagery, but we're just trying to read it as factually as possible. So when she was feeling this excruciating pain after the abortion, she repeatedly called the abortionist and she asked for help. And he reacted callously. He was telling her to just take Tylenol and laxatives and that the pain would go away. And it did not. So she went to the community hospital in Indianapolis, where they found that over half of the baby's body was left inside. And he had also perforated her uterus, which is just an awful, awful thought to think that you're going to receive this abortion that you've heard from this abortionist and others, that it's going to be a safe procedure, and it turns out to be anything but.
And after going to this other hospital, they had performed a CAT scan, and they said you could see a spine. And the surgeon quoted, "This is the worst thing I've ever seen at surgery, and I've been doing this for over 30 years.
Right, which just speaks volume to the pain that this woman was probably going through. And when she's reaching out to the man who performed an abortion, the person that she trusted to go into this procedure and do something that she was going to think was easy and effective, and he responds with, "Take Tylenol or take a laxative." And it turns out that he just severely injured this woman by puncturing her uterus and just leaving the fetus in there. That can cause sepsis, that can cause infection, which is probably a lot of the pain that she was feeling was from the aftermath of this botched abortion. So just a horrible story. And the reason that we bring it up is to draw emphasis on how so many pro-abortion supporters, that they claim that abortion is safe and that it is an easy process and that you're just going to go in, get it done, and then you're going to move on. But we have seen time and time again that there are not only a lot of mental repercussions from having an abortion, a lot of women suffer similar to PTSD-like symptoms, but there are also women who have a lot of physical problems afterwards, which is really highlighted in this story from Illinois. So it is so important that we continue to educate the public on the associated risks with abortion. That's why here in Michigan, why we have a preliminary injunction placed over the 24-hour waiting period and informed consent laws. It's why it is so important to note that, because women are not being told of the potential side effects when they go to get an abortion, which is just so wrong. And it's why we continue to fight for pro-life legislators to get into Michigan government so that they can hopefully turn this around and we can start having more life-affirming laws in place for women. All right, good news. We've got some good news. Tiffany, yes, if you want to share some good Michigan news, which is nice. Yeah. We're back in Michigan.
Yes, so there have actually been 4 Planned Parenthood closures in Michigan. Woohoo. Recently, which is good news. And they have been receiving over $700 million taxpayer dollars in 2023. That was just in federal allocations alone. And the announcement of the Title X grant pauses from the Trump administration actually did not affect any Planned Parenthood clinics in the state of Michigan. And today, women in Michigan are actually at a higher risk of harm from abortion than in recent history. And there's actually been a 38% spike in serious complications from abortion. And that statistic is from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and it was from their 2023 abortion report.
And the reason it's important to note that the pausing of the Title X grants did not affect the Planned Parenthoods in the state of Michigan, they are going out in the news right now and claiming that it was Trump's fault, that it's his fault that these locations are closing. But really, as we've seen in recent reports, that they have a serious misallocation of their funding. They prioritize their radical abortion-only agenda and their political agenda instead of actually putting this money towards care for women, which is what they claim to offer. So these locations closing in Michigan, they are in Jackson, Petoskey, and Marquette. And then the fourth one, it's actually two facilities in Ann Arbor that are consolidating into one location. So really great news that these Planned Parenthood locations that claim to be helping women, but they really only tout abortion as a viable option for pregnant women who come to them for help. It's great that they are going to be closing their doors, and it's going to open a lot more opportunity for women to go to pregnancy resource centers to find care there. In regards to this, Planned Parenthood of Michigan has promised to expand their, what they call their telehealth abilities, where they can continue to provide abortion pills via the mail. They are hoping to expand that access, which, as we see, the abortion pill has become the primary method of an abortion. Over 60% of abortions are now done with the abortion pill, so we still need to keep our eyes on that news, because continued access, continued expansion of access for the abortion pill is going to be detrimental for women who are at home and don't even have to go and see a medical professional in person. They can just order an abortion pill over the phone and go through the procedure themselves, which is just, that's not healthcare, not at all. So again, we're super excited that these locations have closed, and we are hoping that that continues. Sorry, Planned Parenthood, but we're excited that this is good news, moving in the right direction.
Yes.
And getting some more life-affirming care in our state. And one way that we at Right to Life Michigan are going to continue to promote this life-affirming care is with our Life the Other Choice ads, which are going to be re-airing soon. Super exciting.
Yes, and the great thing is that we know that the ads are working, which is why we need your help to ensure that they go back on the air, which they are. And to relaunch these ads, we need to raise close to $1 million. So if you would like to donate, which we would greatly appreciate, you can head over to rtl.org/donate, and you can choose the tax-deductible education fund to help us reach more women with the support that they need for a hopeful and courageous path forward.
The reason that it is such a big buy is because we are going to be entering the digital space heavily. We're going to be putting ourselves into streaming services like Peacock and Hulu. We're going to be going on social media to promote these ads, reaching women where they are, because whether you like it or not, that's where people are now. They're online. They have a heavy investment in the online space. So that is why we are heavily investing in the online space, to reach them where they're at with this life-affirming care. And what these ads do is they end with a pregnancy help hotline. When women see this hotline, they can then call it and be directed to their closest pregnancy resource center, which is going to provide them with great life-affirming care. It's going to offer them anywhere from a free ultrasound to diapers and bottles to classes on how to cook for babies or how to strap your car seat in your car. Really just great support system for these women who a lot of times may feel alone, or they may feel like they don't have the financial capacity to support a child. there are ways that they're going to be supported through these pregnancy resource centers. So we are happy to continue promoting them. But like we said, we need your help to get these ads back out there. It is not cheap, but it is well worth it. So like Tiffany said, if you feel like you have the financial means, please feel free to help us out. Our website, rtl.org/donate, and the education fund. There's going to be two funds. One is for RLM and one is for educational fund. The educational fund is tax deductible. Woohoo! If you donate next January, we will send you a letter that you can take to your tax professional and you can have that written off. Awesome. But again, super important for women in Michigan. So if you have the capacity, please help us out. All right, everyone. That is all the news we've got for you today. We are super grateful for you guys to continue to listen. We are hoping to continue to grow this podcast, like we had mentioned previously, into a visual component. So stay tuned for that. We will continue to update that. But again, thank you for joining us.